Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Choose to Joy broadcast. I'm your host, Brother Eric, and we've just been having a wonderful time with Sister Tara Markham. She's been giving a testimony for the last 2 days, and yesterday, Brother Trey was hosting, and he did a fabulous job, and I think he's trying to take over the broadcast in the second week, so we had to push him to the side today. No, actually, he wanted to do it, but he had other plans arranged. So, Trey, if you're out there, man, I love you. God bless you, and thank you so much for doing the show. Let me see if I can get Tara on the line.
Praise the Lord.
Tara, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, happy and full of joy.
Amen, man. It's just been glorious, and people have been tuning in, I mean, just by the droves. And you were saying how some people have actually talked to you and said how their life has been just changed by listening to it. What's some of the feedback you've got so far?
Yes. Well, actually, a couple people, like 3 or 4 different people, just told me how much it blessed them. But I did have a text last night from somebody who said that they were just so tired and that it really spoke into their life and that they were tired. And they were just ready to give up, you know, and serve the Lord and quit doing it their way. And then I also had another email or text from somebody else. And they said that they ended up getting back on their knees and repenting and telling the Lord how sorry they was. And they worshiped him until his presence came back in their home, and they got back in their Bible, and so they're back in fellowship with the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And I'm glad LaJuan was able to do that, man. He's been needing to get on his knees. No, I'm just joking. I don't know who it was. But, man, it's been powerful. This show is about real people. I'm going to have to write this down. It's going to be an introduction someday. Maybe somebody help me out with wording it right. But it's about real people who've been in real situations, real life situations, where a real, true, and loving, living God, Jesus Christ the righteous, has brought them out in victory. And he's alive and well, and he's able to change anybody's life, no matter what you've been through. And that's the reason why I've been enjoying hearing your testimony, because you've been through a whole lot in your past. And we're going to hop right in there. But before we do, yesterday you was giving a testimony on how some people came to your doorstep one day. And thank God we don't have a church that's just inside the four walls. But they came to your doorstep one day, and you thought it might have been a drug dealer, or you thought it was people looking for drugs, right?
Yes, I did.
But they came preaching the gospel, and they just loved you, didn't they? What did they say to you?
Yes. Well, they told me, you know, when I answered the door, they said, you know, first of all, they wasn't Jehovah's Witnesses. And because, you know, most of the time that's what you get is Jehovah's Witnesses.
Hey,
coming to your door.
Hold on just a second. Let's just see if, hold on. I think we got a guest caller. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can you tell us what your name is?
This is Tony Vaden.
Praise God.
And Tony Vaden, do you remember that day you knocked on Tara's door?
Oh, yeah, I remember it well. I don't remember probably as in detail as she does, but I do remember the day. I sure do.
And from what you do remember, what actually happened that day?
Well, that day, Stan and I, we were out soul winning with the church, out witnessing and telling people about Jesus. And we had met and had a certain time, and actually we had went up the other side of the street and started down, and we were actually late. We were headed back to church that day to meet because they wanted us back at a certain time. So we were really in a hurry. And as we started by Tara's house, something just in my heart just said, you need to go there. And I said, Stan, I know we're late. I said, but we need to go to this house. And he said, you sure? He said, we're late. I said, no, listen, we really need to go. And I can remember walking up on the front porch, and when you get taught and you've learned and you've been in the world and you've been down that road, you pick up on certain things. But as soon as we walked up on the porch, there was a big ashtray full of cigarettes and stuff. And I said, oh, geez, to myself, you know, I'm saying, oh, geez, what we've got into. But anyway, we knocked on the door. And at first, we didn't think nobody was home. And so we knocked again, and finally Tara comes to the door. And, you know, we just told her we were Jesus and after church, and we was out telling people about Jesus. And she said the Jehovah Witness thing. That's probably what I did say. You know, I didn't remember that, but I probably did say something like that. And basically, you know, just told her we was out telling people that Jesus loved them and wanted to know if she needed prayer for anything. And then she went in about Michaela. I think she'd had pneumonia or something. And she just got out of the hospital, and we just prayed with her. And, you know, the glory of God, like, it just fell. I mean, you know, you could tell God was working. And, you know, we just spent some time with her and talked to her and loved on her and witnessed to her. And, you know, one thing that I remember saying, I don't know if Tara remembers it or not, but right before we left, we invited her to church. And I said, Tara, I can tell you this. I said, our church is not a welfare office. I said, but if you'll come to church and you'll do what you're taught, I said, you will not know yourself in a few years. And the next morning, Tara was there. And, you know, it was just a blessing. I watched her over the years. Tara was messed up. I mean, you know, we all are, but Tara was really messed up. I mean, she was selfish. She was a con artist. You know, she was just out there. I mean, that's the way she was raised. You understand? That's the lifestyle she's been in, and we was all in that. But one thing I'll have to say about Tara, I've watched her over the years, and one thing she never did, I never remember her missing church. As far as I know, I've never remembered her missing church.
No.
So she was there where she was getting taught, and she was getting the word, and the Lord was working in her life and dealing with her heart and getting her to the point where she could be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And it's changed her. The good thing about it is I have the privilege of preaching at the jail in Wilson County, and I run into a lot of people in there that know Tara, and I use her a lot as a testimony, and they're saying, Tara, yeah, and you know, I've had several come up and say, yeah, man, she's a different person now. She's not like she used to be. So it's really a testimony of what God's love in Jesus can do for you if you will allow him to. But Tara is a blessing, and you know, it's been a blessing to see her grow the way that she has and to serve the Lord. But I'm telling you, that day on that porch, she was one messed up girl. and I just thank God that we had the opportunity to stop and tell her about Jesus and to see the fruit that comes from that.
Real quick, Tony, real quick. Tara, tell Tony where you would have been at now if he hadn't followed the unction of the Holy Spirit to come knock on your door that day.
Mm. Oh, I would have definitely, without no doubt, been dead, because I would have been that girl in that car wreck July 4th of 2011. And, you know, I would have been in prison before then, because that day that he came, it was that night that I got charged with aiding and abetting with a felony. Yeah. And I had such a temper that it took Pastor Scales to help me to just get humble to where I could respect their authority and not get locked up. And so he came that day. The Lord knew, he orchestrated all of it, because he knew everything that was about to happen. I would have been dead,
Tony,
and I'm thankful that he stopped and obeyed the unction of the Holy Ghost.
Tony, I got one more question for you. Thank you so much for calling in, man. I really appreciate it. Is terror, for lack of a better term, or lack of better words, is terror probably the most successful convert you've had in your Christian walk?
She's probably the one that I know the most about, yeah. You know, when you're out, the way we witness in the jails and at the fires and stuff, you know, you win a lot of people to the Lord. But as far as getting to watch somebody to grow and to see the change in their life that you get to see, yeah, I say she definitely is, because I'm telling you, people just don't realize. I mean, you know, it's just us standing on that porch and hearing her, and I can remember standing out walking off and saying, my gracious, that girl has got trouble. But we knew that God was bigger. We knew that the love of Jesus was bigger. And, you know, that's the thing about it. It is, it's not just accepting Jesus. It's getting somewhere where you can get taught how to walk with Jesus. Because, you know, a lot of people in this area have grown up in church, but just like I did, but a lot of people hear the stories, but they don't know how to take what they're hearing from Jesus and apply it to their life to get their lives changed. It's just like they're in over and over in the same thing over and over again. And if you don't learn how to take the love of Jesus and get him in your life first and then learn how to get that love to work out of you, it's really no good. It's really no good. But Tara is a blessing. She really is. I mean, she's doing mighty things for God. You know, she's making a difference in people's lives, and her testimony is a blessing. And like I said, it's one of those things where somebody like Tara, people are using her testimony because you come from where she was to where she's at, and there's just really not an explanation for it other than the love of God has changed her.
Period.
So it's been a blessing.
It's without a doubt the power of God, a living God, who was able to change her and change her soul and all the habits and make her into a wholesome, victorious, young, mighty woman of God. Man, and I think about you sometimes, Tony, because if the Lord has given us an unction to go speak to somebody about Jesus, there's no telling how much their life can change just by going on their doorstep and asking them, can I pray with you? Do you need
that's
any help? It's just
that step of love.
Go ahead.
It's sharing the love of Jesus is what it is. And the thing about it is, you know, somebody had to speak to Billy Graham. Somebody had to speak to Kenneth Copeland. You know, I heard Jesse DePlantis' testimony where he was watching TV. And it was on TV when he got born again. So you never know, when you're sharing the love of Jesus with somebody, what an impact it's going to make on the world. So it's really important to obey the Holy Ghost and to do what he says. And, you know, we may not all get Billy Graham or Kenneth Copeland or Jesse DePlantis, but one thing I do know, the Word says God's not a respecter of person. So, if, you know, people out there that are sitting in Tara's position or my position or your position, or maybe you haven't been on drugs, maybe you grew up in church, but sin is sin. And God wants to change you so that you can have a better life while on this earth and that you can do his will on this earth, that you can make an impact in other people's lives. And that's what the love of God is all about.
Tony, I'm going to let Tara get back to her testimony. I want to ask you one more question. When can you do the show, man? When can you do the show?
I don't know, man. You got to call me on guard
on this. I just got to ask you one question, and you'll take over the whole thing. You're a real preacher, man. You tell the Lord put the gift on you. I just say one thing, and you can take off for 30 minutes straight to talk about Jesus. But I really would like to get your testimony about how the Lord delivered you from alcohol. I tell my students, you know, I teach a driver's ed class, and I mention you just about every session when we talk about drugs and alcohol, man, and how the Lord delivered you from that. So I would definitely like to get you on here and for you to share about that.
Well, maybe we can hook up sometime.
Praise the Lord. That's all I need to hear.
I'll talk with you about it. How does that sound?
That sounds great, man. Thanks so much for coming on. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for having me.
Amen. Man, thank you so much.
Y'all have a great
day. Love you, Brother Tony.
Love you guys.
Love you. That was, that was Brother Tony Vaden. And I called him today just as a special guest caller because I heard you and Trey Terry talking about how you got saved and or how you you started repenting on the porch, and it's just a powerful moment, man. I mean, you could feel the presence of God through the
phone.
Yes,
definitely. Oh, praise
it's,
God.
It was a, I mean, just any time the Lord shows up, man, it's just going to be a change.
That's right.
But you and Trey was kind of distraught yesterday on how y'all ended the show because you was talking about how you was about to marry your baby's daddy. Did you ever call him your baby daddy?
Yes, back in the day I did.
Back in the day, my baby daddy. All right, Trey was talking about you was talking about how you was about to marry Derek, Michaela's father, and Pastor Scales called you and told you what was his exact words to you, if you remember.
His exact words that I remember was he said that he had been praying that night. And he said, Tara, he said he had been praying for other church members and me, but he said that my face came before him while he was praying. And he said the Lord told him that if I married Derek, and he told him to call me and tell me, he said if I married Derek, that I would go back and be worse than what I ever was before. And he said after that, the Lord told him, or showed him that something really bad was going to happen a few years down the road. And, you know, the thing about it is after he told me that, and, of course, I asked him to tell me what it was, and he said that I would have to make my decision whether or not what I was going to choose. And he said, you know, Tara, I'm still going to be your pastor and love you. And so, you know, that helped me, but I knew I could not make the decision to go forward because of that word I got from the Lord. And anytime he says something that Jesus said, then you can take it to the bank. I mean, you can go ahead and cash it in because it's going to happen. If he said the Lord said, it's going to happen.
So when did you finally, so this was the night before you was about to get married, and when did you actually make the decision not to go through?
Well, I was in, you know, I couldn't sleep much that night. I tossed and turned. I thought about how I was going to tell him. So I really made the decision in my heart that night before the next morning. And I was, you know, contemplating on when to tell, how to tell him, you know, because we planned on getting up, eating breakfast, getting ready, going and saying our vows and getting married. We weren't going to wait all day. And I thought, how in the world am I going to tell him? Because he had really put his heart in this. He was very excited about it. He finally was going to have me as his wife and it not be sin, you know, because he knew I didn't want to sin against the Lord. And so he was excited, you know, and he said that, you know, he wanted to spend the rest of his life with me and Michaela. And I knew that I was going to have to face that. I was going to have to face his hurt because he was already a hurt young man to begin with. And
so how did you tell him when you told
him? Well, I just told him the next morning. I told him that, you know, they had got up, him and Michaela, and I was real nervous. And we were eating breakfast. And during breakfast, well, let me say this, before we ate breakfast, this has never happened before. I don't understand what this, I believe it was a sign of death, now that I look back on it and see what happened a few years later. But that morning, and this really happened, we were laying in the bed and a bird, a gray bird, comes and hits the window of our bedroom. And that gray bird hit the window. It would drop down, it'd fly back up, hit it again, harder, drop back down, fly back up, it hit it the third time.
Oh my God. I said,
what? And it was hitting the window trying to, I mean, it was hitting it hard, like it was trying to get in. And I've never seen that in my whole life. And he said, what in the world? And I thought, I don't know what's going on, but I knew down on the inside it had to be a sign of, you know, and then later on I looked up about certain colors, you know, and seemed like it was a color of death. But he thought, well, you know, but I told him when we went into the kitchen and was cooking and we sat down to eat, I said, I have something to tell you. And he knew I was about to probably say something bad, because every time I'd start off that way, like if we couldn't see each other no more, I'd always start off, there's something I have to tell you. And so he's like, I know we're not going here again. And, you know, he was already getting defensive and mad. And I said, Derek, I'm so sorry. I really am sorry. And he started crying. And he was getting so mad, but he was so hurt at the same time. And he said, I know you're not fixing to tell me what I think you're fixing to tell me. And I thought, oh, man, here we go. Because once he got angry, if he was hurt, he would, you know, he would bust windows open. He would, you know, he would hit you. He would do all kinds of stuff. And just because he would get angry, he had those devils of anger. And so I thought, I'm fixing to have to face this. And so while I'm telling him and he's saying this, you know, I know you're not fixing to tell me this. And, you know, down this, I'm like, Lord, I'm doing what you tell me. I'm expecting for you to protect us and keep us. And I told him, I said, I have to tell you. I said, I can't marry you today. I can't get married to you, Derek. And he said, and he just started going off. He just started cussing and going off. He threw a knife trying to hit me with it across the room. And he was like, you've ruined my life. You have ruined everything. And, of course, I broke down crying. I had to take Michaela to the other room. And at this point, I believe Michaela was about 2 years old, maybe a little bit over 2 years old. And 2.5. And so she, you know, I took her in there, and so I tried to plead with him to calm down. And I just told him, I said, you know, the Lord dealt with me, Derek. He told me something. And he said, how did he tell you? Did Pastor Scales tell you something? And I said, yes, he did. He told me that the Lord told him something. And immediately, you know, because he knew Pastor Scales had an anointing of a prophet. And so that's why he said, did Pastor tell you something? Because he knew how much I respected Pastor and his authority. And I don't know if he heard him call or he, still to this day, he never told me that he heard the phone call or anything. But I said, Derek, I'm so sorry. I said, I have to follow what Jesus is saying. And I told him, I finally got to tell him what the Lord told Pastor, because he specifically asked me if Pastor said it, or else I probably wouldn't have told him at that moment because he was just so mad. And I knew he would blame Pastor and act like, you know, it was Pastor's fault. Pastor didn't make the decision for me. My pastor is not dominant like that.
How did he take it after you told him what
he said? That's, you know, a bunch of bull. You know, and cussed and said, that's just a, he said, I don't believe none of that. He said, you're serving the Lord. You're not going to go back and do nothing worse. And I just said, I have to do what Jesus said. I said, he said something real bad's going to happen a few years down the road. I said, I'm not going to put Michaela in the position for her mom to go back and start drinking and being an alcoholic and being a whore again. I said, and then something bad happening down a few years down the road, and it's going to be on my decision because the word of the
after
Lord came
that,
to me, and I'm not going to do it.
After that, did you still have, like, hope for you and him to eventually get married one day?
I had hope, you know, it would come to my mind sometimes, you know, I would get thoughts about it, but I would cast those thoughts down, and when I would get, you know, really heavy, just, and I would feel like depression would try to come, or just heaviness would try to come about the situation, like you're doing the wrong thing, you know, because I would hear voices say, you're doing the wrong thing, you've messed up his life. I would hear what he was telling me over and over again on a recorder, just playing over and over again. And I would just get on my knees, Eric, and I would just worship the Lord. And I would just worship him, and I would tell him, Lord, you said through Pastor Scales this. And I would remind the Lord what he said. And I said, Lord, I'm expecting for you to keep me. And I'm expecting for you to show up mighty in my life, because you wouldn't have said this if you didn't have a plan for my life and for Michaela's. I said, so I'm expecting for you to do something above this. And I would tell the Lord that, because you can't tell somebody to come out of something that they have been in for years and years and years, and you don't have a different plan for them. You can't tell them, just somebody that they've put their heart in to somebody else, you can't just do that and then expect for them to just, you not bless them and love them and be there to, you know, bring them out of that and keep me. And it took his presence to keep me, because, you know, Derek started using that weekend. He went on a binge. You know, nobody couldn't find him for 3 or 4 or 5 days. I can't remember how. I know it was a few days. And people were calling. They were calling me. What have you done? You know, why didn't y'all get married? I was getting all these phone calls. So I had all these harassing spirits plus these people on me about it, you know. And I thought, you know, I would just tell people, listen, I'm sold out. I have to obey what the Lord said. In a few years, we will see whatever it is. I can't explain to you, you know, what's going to happen. I just know I have to obey. His parents, you know, just everybody was calling, wanting to know what I'd done. It was pointed to me.
And just by hearing your test, or just by hearing what you went through after you told him no, and he's throwing knives, cussing, then he goes out on a drug binge. But listening to you, I wouldn't have to wait, you know, years down the road to see where the Lord was right. I mean, just the next day, nobody needs to be in a relationship with somebody who has the capability of, one, going out on a drug binge, and two, is willing to throw stuff and knives and, you know, and curse you out and get yelled at and all this rowdy stuff. Nobody has any reason, no woman or no young lady has any reason of being involved with a guy like that.
I got a daughter,
and I couldn't imagine somebody treating her.
Well, you
like
don't,
that.
But they. What it is, Eric, is girls. They when like my testimony before yesterday and the day before, how you're really craving that love. And at this point, see, I wasn't letting Jesus, his love, really satisfy me. Because if his love satisfied me, I wouldn't have been in that predicament in the first place. I would have been able to hear from him. And so his love was not at the point where it was satisfying me in my life at that time. And so when you've been with somebody that you've been trying to get that satisfaction from, but it's wrapped up in darkness, you begin to love the darkness because you're loving them. And so you start loving the darkness. And it's hard for girls to get out of it if they really love that darkness. They're going to have to really want in their heart and have the desire to want something else to get out of it. And even if they do, they're going to have to break away and get to Jesus. I mean, there's no, I couldn't have done it if it was not for that blood, and if it wasn't for the covering I had. There's no way I couldn't have done it. I mean, because that soulish tie was just so strong. It was a stronghold, and I felt like my dependency, his dependency to not use, was on me. I felt like that all the time, because this is what he would tell me, and this is what a lot of people tell their boyfriends and girlfriends or wives, husbands, whatever. They tell them, I'm going to die, or I'm going to kill myself if you don't stay with me. And he would tell me that. You know, and he would say, do you really want me to die? And I would say, no, I don't want you to die. So it was a manipulation spirit because he knew that he wasn't going to kill himself. He knew he wasn't. But it was just manipulating me to believe that
he would try to do whatever it took to keep you around.
Right. And so that weekend that he left, that's what was going through my mind. Wow, he's done
with it. You thought it was your fault.
I thought it was my fault.
You ended up finding out on down the road, though, what Pastor Scales' prophecy to you was about. And just tell us, tell me what happened to Derek and what do you believe would happen to you if you would have gotten married to him?
Okay. Well, what happened to him is he kept using pills, oxy, codones, hydrocodones, and then it began to, you know, because he always smoked weed. That was never he never stopped doing that. But it began to be his drug of choice. He was on crack for a long time. And then it began to be he was shooting up heroin. It got so bad. And, you know, there was times, I guess probably the first year after that, I was letting Michaela see him, maybe a couple years, up until she was, you know, 5 or 6, letting her see him. And, you know, he would always say something, you know, in the terms of, you know, are you ever going to give it another chance? And and I would always say, no, I'm not. Because I knew what the Lord said, and I was not going to go back on what he said. And I made
and
a vow.
Time,
I made a commitment
really,
to Jesus.
And by this time, that stronghold is really coming off of you where you can resist it a lot better, I presume.
Yes, it did, because it took a while, Eric. But once I moved, you know, away, because I was living there for 3 years, and that was about to be my last year anyway. I think I lived there close to another year after that. In the projects, I lived there for 3 years, and the Lord delivered me, praise God. He is such a loving God. He is so true to his word. Amen. And the humble will always get exalted. So,
Amen.
So I just stayed humble. But, you know, when I left Alexandria and moved to Watertown, that's when those strongholds really got broke. And he knew things were going to change, and really it was the devil. The devil knew because it was a spirit there that was between us. The devil knew things were going to change because he spoke through him and said one night, Terry, you know everything's about to change when you move. And at that point, I really didn't know. I thought, you know, he would still get to see Michaela and things would we would still communicate. But everything actually did change when I moved. That spirit got broke. Praise God. So he continues to use, and, you know, I continue to go up in the Lord. And when he saw me, you know, when he would see me, I remember one particular day he was just looking at me, and I asked him to stop looking at me like that. And this is what he said. And he said, Tara, he said, I'm not looking at you like you think. He said, there's something different about you. Something's on you that's never been on you before.
Wow.
And he said, you look pure now.
Wow.
And he never after that day disrespected me with his words. He didn't disrespect me with his actions, because before that he would still try to grab me, you know, just grab me or kiss me. He would just try to force himself, you know, and be like, you're still mine.
Let's keep it clean on Christian radio, Tara.
And so, hey, with what you and Trey talked about, this is...
yeah, you're right. You're right.
You and Trey kind of got deep there. So, so praise God. So after that day, though, he had such a level of respect, the Lord showed him. He opened up his eyes. And I remember, you know, I had to stop letting Michaela go around him. just because he was just so far out there, Eric. And I would tell him, you know, Derek, you have potential. Jesus loves you. You know, it's not about us being together. It's about your soul. It's about you doing the will of God. And I would always bring him Jesus when I was around him. I didn't condemn him and beat him up. And that's the thing a lot of people need to see. If you're hearing and you have somebody, a mate, you know, a husband or a wife or somebody that you're involved with, and they're serving the devil, you don't need to beat them up. You need to love them and pray for them and cover them, because there's a point where they can come out, because it's a spiritual warfare. It's not the flesh and blood. Like the word says, it's a spiritual warfare. And so you don't have to be back with your baby's daddy or your, you know, baby's mama. You are to pray for them if you're a Christian and plead the blood of Jesus over them and pray for their soul. Pray for mercy over them, because hell is real and it is forever. There's no way out, and you could be the person that prays them out. And so the Lord put me on that assignment for his life. And for a long time, you know, I really didn't want to, because I didn't want those emotional attachments to try to come back. And I remember I had to, you know, just get honest, and I got honest with the Lord, and Pastor actually helped me, because he's the one who helped me to see that lust spirit that was in my life, and that actually broke and set me free from ever, you know, going back to Derek either. And after I got free from that spirit, I was able to start praying for him with a pure conscience, because the Lord told me to. And if it wasn't for Jesus and his mercy, he would have been in hell today. And the Lord intervened and said, I want you. He put me on assignment the year before he died. He said, I want you to start praying for him that he don't die in his sin, that you pray for mercy for him. And I did.
What if he sent out a message, was it the day before he died? Do you remember, did he write a letter or?
He actually texted Pastor Scales the morning of his death. He actually called Pastor Scales and me 2 weeks before he passed away. And this is how the Lord works. When you really belong to him, no matter how crazy you're living, when you really belong to him, he will come and rescue you. He will have somebody praying for you, or somebody that comes and delivers you out of that. And so Derek got in such a position where his lights got cut off. You know, he didn't have no money for nothing. All of his money was going towards this heroin. So he calls Pastor Scales, and he asked Pastor Scales to help him. He called him for the first time in years. And he said, Pastor, you know, I just ask you to help me. He told him his situation. He said, I'm tired. He said, I'm tired. My life is a mess. He told him what was going on. And Pastor Scales said, you know what, Derek? He said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to do it. And he asked him how much, you know, it would cost to get everything cut back on. And he said, but you know what you're going to have to do, don't you? And Derek said, what's that? He said, you're going to have to get some stuff right. And he said, yeah, you're right. He said, I'm sorry for the way I treated you and came against you. And so that repentance got there before he passed away. He got to the blood in that area. And then after that, you know, he calls me repenting to me about Michaela not being the father he should have been and how much he missed her. And he just thinks about her every day and so forth. So anyway, he was getting that clean. So then he texts Pastor Scales at like 9 something that morning of July 4th. And this is what it said. I remember it. I mean, maybe not exact word, but I pretty much remember it. And Pastor Scales had me to write it down because it was on his phone. But he said, Pastor Scales, this is Michaela's dad, Derek. I just want to thank you for, thank you and all my brothers and sisters for paying my light bill. He called y'all his brothers and sisters. And he said, for paying my light bill. And this is what he said. He said, I've been ready to go into rehab. He said, I'm ready. He said, I'm tired, and I'm asking you to help me to get into rehab. And he said, God's been on me for a minute now. He said, and I believe because I told the truth, my freedom is coming. And that was his words. And Pastor told him, he said, if you'll get down on your knees, he told him the week or two prior to this, if you'll get down on your knees and tell the Lord how much you love using drugs and what you love, what you've been doing, that you've been loving it, and ask him to forgive you, Derek, he'll forgive you. He'll set you free. And a man came to Pastor at Derek's funeral and told him, he said, I'm so-and-so. He said, I just want to let you know that me and Derek got on our knees before the Lord 2 days before he got in the car wreck and asked the Lord to forgive us. And we made a covenant with God to never use again.
Wow.
And so that's powerful.
Man,
you know,
the Holy Ghost all over this phone right now.
That's powerful. You can't give up praying for people. You know, when the Lord puts you on that assignment, you can't. And he told me 2 months before he died, he said, I want you to pray specifically that he does not die in his sin. I thought, my own thinking was he was going to be getting converted and really serve the Lord. But I was in my thinking. But the Lord knew he was preparing his heart to repent. And so for me, if I wouldn't have obeyed the Lord and done what Jesus said through Pastor, you know, what really was my decision, made the decision to not get married, I would have been in that car because there was another girl in that car and she died. She died exactly the same time he did. And then there was three people in the back seat.
You would have been that girl.
I would have been the girl, and that's what Pastor said when I walked through the church doors that night of the revival, July 4th, that night after I got back from the hospital. He said, Tara, you know that would have been you. That's what the Lord was saying. He said, and you would have been in your sin. He would have been in his sin because y'all both would have went back and been worse than what you was. And see, nobody would have been there to pray us out. And then Michaela would have been left. And so just by making that decision, just that one decision changed the course of our whole entire life and his eternity because he's in heaven today.
And tell us real quick, we got 2 minutes left, so try to make this really good and quick as you can. But one day you're still kind of dealing with his death shortly afterwards, and God gave you a vision. Tell us about that vision.
Yes. Okay, well, real quick, I just want to, you know, just say this. I really have a love and passion to see people come to Jesus because he is love and he can deliver people out of anything. And so I have this, and the Lord had took me and gave me a revelation of hell, you know, maybe not the fullest, but he took me to hell. And after he took me to hell, I didn't want to never see nobody go to hell, especially people I knew. And when, after he, you know, passed away at this point in time, I still didn't have real confidence that where he was, where his soul was. And so we was in the revival, and for 2 days I just kept praying, you know, and I was asking the Lord, Lord, you got to show me where he's at. You got to show me where he's at, because I knew, I had confidence that God, his spirit could be raised from the dead. And, you know, I'd seen people be raised from the dead, and I just couldn't imagine, you know, Michael's dad being in hell like for eternity, you know.
Right.
Because even though he had that stuff wrong with him, there was still things in his heart that was, you know, that God put in there that was good. And so people usually always look at the bad in people, but God don't. He loves you at your darkest. And so I was like, Lord, you got to show me. Well, I go into this vision on Wednesday night. The Lord told me to run. I wouldn't do it the first 2 times because I felt like I would slow walk around the church and people would think I'm crazy. Because Pastor wasn't even flowing at that time like that. He was just teaching. And I already looked like a ghost from what I was experiencing at that moment. I was just in my own weaknesses in my flesh and my emotions. So Jesus told me, he said, I want you to run. Finally, I ran on the third time he told me. And when I started running, I remember I got to the very, probably at the front of the church where Michaela and Miss Anita sit, and I started rolling, and I rolled all the way across the front of the church. And as soon as I stopped rolling, I went to heaven. And when I went to heaven, I was just like, wow, you know, I didn't even see him at first. I was just like, I didn't even see nobody. It was just beautiful. And I was just looking around, and all of a sudden I see him, and his back is against me, like he's bent down by this huge river of water. And, you know, you hear about the crystal clear water. It's really crystal clear water. And, I mean, it's just as real as I'm sitting here. And he was bent down splashing water in his face, just splashing it, just covering his face with this water. I'm like, wow, what? And you know, I didn't see his face, so I'm still kind of, but I knew it was him. And I said, Derek. And he rose up, he got up, and he said, Tara. And he came, you know, we started walking towards each other, and I'm like, wow, you're here. And he said, yes, I'm here. And he looked at me, and he said, just be happy for me. And so when he said that, those words, because I couldn't do it unless I saw him up there, because I really thought he was in, you know, I didn't know. And when he said, just be happy for me, I'm happy, you know, and he was smiling. He had a glow on him. He was just lit up. And I said, okay, I will. And then I came out of it. And my sister told me, she said, Tara, you were on the floor for 45 minutes. I timed it. What was going on down there? And I told her, I said, it felt like I was up there for 2 minutes, you know, but they say there's no time in heaven. So it was supernatural. And since then, I've had not one doubt. Because I know, you know, I've actually seen it. Yes.
The Lord just brought that whole situation, the whole story of you and him, which the devil had a plan for you guys' life to end in tragedy, but God came and just made it just perfect. Now there's been an eternity in heaven, and you have a mission and a call on your life down here that you're going to fulfill. We're completely out of time, so I don't know when it's going to cut off, but Tara, what I need you to do is I need you to, as swiftly as you can, led by the Holy Spirit, lead people in prayer to get saved.
Okay. Now, those of you that are listening and you know your hearts, they're not right, or you want a deeper connection with Jesus, you know you've got sin in your life, maybe you've been born again and you've gotten broken fellowship, you need to say this prayer, because it's not about you, it's about him and what he done for you on the cross and how God's power raised Jesus from the dead and his love for you. And so just say this with me. Say, Father God, I believe you sent Jesus to die on the cross to take all my sins away and to show me your love. And Father, I thank you that your word says that you raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. And I ask you to come in my heart today, Lord Jesus, and truly save me. Change me, convert me, Lord. I believe you have the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that's raising me now out of addictions, out of afflictions, out of sicknesses and diseases. And I thank you, Lord, that you love me, and I turn from my darkness and I turn to your light and to your power and from Satan's power to serve you, to do God's will and to do what you say, Lord Jesus, from this day forward. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for taking away my sins and giving me a new start and a new life. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And
glory to God.
This 45 minutes a day went by so fast.
It did go by so fast.
We're still not
finished. We didn't even get to finish everything.
But, man, it was powerful, and I know God moved. And if you're hearing this today, please listen to the archives. You can see it on blog talk blogtalkradio.com/choosetojoy and get the archives and share them, man. Share them with people who might have dealt with some of the same things Tara has dealt with. And if somebody's not saved, send them a text message with the link to the broadcast on it. This is from Ashes to Beauty. This is number 3. And thank you so much, Tara. Hopefully,
thank
I'll
you,
have
Brother
you
Eric.
Soon. I know you've had a marvelous. God just opened the doors wide open for you to be with us for the last 3 days. And so I thank you so much for doing the show. And we'll try to have another episode too.
Okay.
We're not finished with you yet.
Praise
but,
the Lord.
Thanks for tuning in. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast. And I pray you have a blessed weekend. And thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. Bye-bye.